Let's rise. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text has been chosen to be laid upon our hearts on this anniversary day of our church body. It's found recorded in the book of Leviticus, chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. We're going to be breaking it down to three different parts. Our first part is verses 1 through 7, which we'll read at this time. And the Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. What grows of its own accord of your harvest you shall not reap, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine, for it is a year of rest for the land. And the Sabbath produce of the land shall be food for you, for you, your male and female servants, your hired man, and the stranger who dwells with you, for your livestock and the beasts that are in your land. All its produce shall be for food." You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, our ever-living Lord and Savior, dear fellow redeemed, from the beginning of creation, time has been important, both to God and to man. God marked off each day of creation with the following words: the evening and the morning were the first day, evening and morning were the second day, and so on through all 7 days of creation. Therefore, along with the importance of marking off time, days and months and years, there also came the celebration of past events. Celebrating past events with special occasions and observances. In fact, the first one was when the Lord told his Old Testament people that they were to rest on the seventh day. As an anniversary remembrance, a reminder of what God did at the end of his 6 days of creating the world. When the people were set free from Egypt, God said, "Now, every year, I want you to celebrate a Passover as a reminder of what I did for you when you were slaves and how I set you free." And so we in the New Testament Christian Church have followed this example of the Old Testament, and we have annual anniversary reminders as well of Jesus' birth, Christmas, Jesus' death, Good Friday, his resurrection, Easter, his ascension, the coming of the Holy Spirit in a special way, Pentecost, and other religious services. They're anniversary, annual reminders of all that God did for us. Therefore, it's entirely proper and God-pleasing that we also mark off the days and months and years the anniversary of a church, a congregation, and a church body, both of which proclaim and preach and spread the word of God and also support God's people. We celebrate the birthday of the New Testament Christian Church on Pentecost, now almost 2,000 years ago, 1980 years ago. We celebrate Reformation, like you say, the birth of the Lutheran Church, October 31st, 1517, almost 500 years ago. And this morning we are celebrating the 50th anniversary of our particular church body, the Church of the Lutheran Confession. Did you notice that in those Old Testament ceremonies and observances that the Lord ordained for his people, it wasn't just a mark off time, is to remember him and to give thanks and praise for all that he had done for them. Why were they to rest on the Sabbath day? Well, first of all, to remember God's resting after he created the world in 6 24-hour days. But also to look forward to that spiritual and eternal rest that he promised they would have through the Messiah whom he would send. Why were they to celebrate the Passover every year? to remember what Jesus did, what God did for them. How he had them spread the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost, and he passed over their homes and struck down the firstborn dead of all the Egyptians, and they were set free from that slavery of 400 years in Egypt. But also to look forward to the real Passover Lamb, who shed his blood not on a doorpost, but shed his blood on the cross to set us free from the slavery of sin, death, Satan, and hell. So also, why have a celebration, the anniversary of a church body? To remember the great things that God has done among us. How he has taken us earthen vessels and used us to proclaim the word of God and to show Christ and him crucified to the rest of the world. Everything points to Jesus. All the celebrations, all the observances point to our Savior. And that's why the theme for this 50th anniversary of our synod was chosen: redemption for the past, hope for the future. In our text this morning, the Lord is anticipating the children of Israel entering into the promised land. And he tells them, when you get into the promised land, I want you, I command you to do this thing. A Sabbath of the land. Not only were they to work 6 days and then rest on the seventh day, they were to plant and till and harvest for 6 years, and then the seventh year allow the land to lie fallow. Also, they were not to tend their orchards and their vineyards on that seventh year. So there'd be a year of rest for the land. The Lord did this so the people would remember that all of this land was a gift from him. All the crops were a gift from him. In fact, this sabbatical year of rest for the land underscored that God owns all things. Well, the Israelites assisted in the process of growing crops. They tilled, they planted, they harvested. It was a God who caused it to grow and ripen and produce. The people were to be reminded every 7 years to glorify God for their abundance, for all their food, and not concentrate on the accumulation of material possessions or to glory in a list of accomplishments that they had done. Boy, does that fit an anniversary celebration of a church body. Most often, when a corporation or a company celebrates an anniversary, there's a lot of backslapping going on. A lot of success stories and speeches that we've accomplished so much with so little. Congratulatory speeches that say, our success is marked in growth of stores, growth of stocks, growth of sales, growth of employees, etc. Losses and failures are minimized. Successes and gains are accentuated. But when the sabbatical year is our example as a church anniversary, we look to God in praise and thanksgiving, not to ourselves. In fact, when we look to ourselves, we see only failures because of our sins. God's demand of us as a church body over these past 50 years is the same demand he lays upon each of us individually. He says, be perfect in your love and service to me, and perfect in your love and service to your fellow mankind. And in that area, we all have failed. Every congregation of our synod, every individual member of those congregations in our synod, every church officer of our congregation, every church officer of our synod, and for that we need to come before our Lord with repentant hearts. And amazingly, every Sunday, after a week of failures, after a week of sins and thought, word and deed, after a week of rebellion in one form or another, every Sunday we come before our Lord and we hear His grace and His mercy and His beautiful love showered upon us. Just let these passages of God's grace and His beauty wash over your hearts and sink deeply into your soul. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. We continue with the next portion of our sermon text, verses 8 to 14. And you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years. The time of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the earth on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a Jubilee for you. And each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. That 50th year shall be a Jubilee to you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap, but grows of its own accord, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. For it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. In this year of Jubilee, each of you shall return to his possession. And if you shall sell anything to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years of the Jubilee, you shall buy from your neighbor. And according to the number of years of crops, he shall sell to you. According to the multitude of years, you shall increase its price. And according to the fewer numbers of years, you shall diminish its price. For he sells to you according to the number of the years of the crops. Therefore you shall not oppress one another, but you shall fear your God, for I am the Lord your God. After 7 sabbatical years, the Lord says the 50th year would now be the year of Jubilee. That word comes from the Hebrew word for a ram's horn, yobel, which they blew then on the first day of the Day of Atonement. It's also called the Year of Liberty, because on that 50th year, all the land returned to its original owners. And the slaves would also be set free. Now the year of Jubilee would come right after a 7th year of rest. So that means 2 years the land lying fallow. 2 years of not having any crops. This is the Lord's test upon their faith. He told them the 6th year, which would be the 48th year, I will give you so many blessings that you'll have more than enough crops to store for the next 2 years when you don't plant your crops and don't tend your vines in your orchards. This took faith. This took trust and confidence to believe God's promises and God's words. The main thrust of this year of Jubilee was freedom. In this year, the Israelites were reminded they were slaves in Egypt. Because of their sins, because of their complaints and their failures, they were enslaved by the Egyptian people. And God then, through His power, the 10 plagues, the Passover, parting the Red Sea, set them free from that slavery. After 40 years of wandering, they came into this promised land of freedom. But liberty does not mean license. They weren't free to do whatever they wanted to do. They weren't free to go and worship false gods and idols. They didn't have the liberty to just live for themselves and to put their hearts centered on the things of this world. Their hearts and their minds were to be centered on the Lord. And so He gave them this 50th year of Jubilee for them to meditate on and to reflect upon their freedom. Their spiritual freedom and their secular freedom that God had given to them. But especially to reflect upon the covenant, the promise that God made with them. He said, "I am Jehovah. You are my people. I am your God. And I will send to you the Messiah, the Savior, who will truly set you free." In this year of Jubilee, the land was to be returned to its original owners. For this reason, when they got to the land of Canaan, all land was distributed by tribes and by families, individuals, and they knew they were not owners of the land. They were tenants. This land was God's land. So this year was also to remind them that they were still strangers, they were still pilgrims here on this earth. Heaven is their home. You better see now why this text was chosen as the anniversary text for our church body. This is our church body's year of Jubilee, the 50th year. The Lord has provided day in and day out for our church body. The work has been His work. Well, we did the preaching, the proclaiming, and the singing, and the praying, and the planting. It was the Lord who did the growth. The Lord who caused that word to grow in the hearts of people. The Lord who harvested the souls over the past 50 years and took them to be with Him in heaven. It's the Lord who set us free from the slavery of sin, Satan, death, hell, through His power, the power of the cross, the crucifixion, the empty tomb, and the resurrection. He's shown us time and time and time again, this is not our church body, this is not our synod, it's His. We're only temporary members of this physical organization. But we're eternal members of His church, of His body. Eternal members of His kingdom. Heaven is our home. We conclude then with verses 18 to 24 of chapter 25. "So you shall observe my statutes and keep my judgments and perform them, and you will dwell in the land in safety. And the land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and dwell there in safety. And if you say, 'What shall we eat in the seventh year, since we shall not sow nor gather in our produce?' then I will command my blessing on you in the sixth year, and it will bring forth produce enough for 3 years. And you shall sow in the eighth year, and eat old produce until the ninth year. Until its produce comes in, you shall eat of the old harvest. The land shall not be sold permanently. The land is mine. For you are strangers and sojourners with me, and in all the land of your possession, you shall grant redemption of the land." The sabbatical year was a real test of their faith. Planting 6 years, harvesting 6 years, waiting a seventh. But the year of Jubilee was even a greater test of their faith, as we heard, having 2 years in a row. But every 100 years, there'd be 2 years then. 2 years out of every 100 that would change the social structure of Israel. No division in society between rich and poor, slave and free, the people trusting for God to provide for their daily needs. Unfortunately, because of the perverse nature of sinful hearts, this did not always happen. In Isaiah 5, verse 8, the Lord has to remind the people by saying, "Woe to those who join house to house, they add field to field, till there is no place where they may dwell alone in the midst of the land." Greed, selfishness, filled the hearts of the people. Many Old Testament prophets had to rail on the people and tell them to share their goods, to feed the poor, to help those who had nothing, to serve their neighbors. We know that we too don't deserve to be in God's kingdom. We don't deserve to be the sheep of our good shepherd. We don't deserve to be members of his body. We've not been obedient, faithful, and loving as God demands. As I look at my life as a called servant of God, pastor in his church, I have not been as loving and faithful to my God or to his members as I should have been. And I'm sure as you look at your own lives, you too see that you've not been as loving and as serving to fellow members, to your neighbors, and others in need. For all these failures and sins of commission and omission, we need to spend this time in our anniversary to come before our Lord, seeking his forgiveness and rejoicing in that grace. The main purpose of the year of Jubilee was again repeated in verse 23. The Lord says, "The land is mine. You are strangers, and you're sojourners with me." So once again, as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of a church body, we're to be reminded that God owns everything. He created it all. Our bodies, our goods, our land. We're but tenants of the land. We're but stewards of our bodies, of our talents, of our abilities. We're but messengers to proclaim his good word, ambassadors of his kingdom, to bring that gospel message of salvation to all people, rich, poor, slave, free. And we're to do this alone to his glory. Simply by God's grace that we have his righteousness in Christ Jesus. A generation is about 30 years. So now we're well into the second generation of believers in this small church body of ours. God has kept his word. He's passed down his word in its truth and purity from one generation to the next. And now he's passing it down to you, the third generation, you young people in college, high school, and grade school. May you also learn the lesson well. The promise is there. As long as you remain and continue in his word, as long as his word is in your midst, the Lord will pass his truth down from one generation to another generation, and hopefully to all those who call CLC their church home. The Lord has given us tremendous blessings, undeserved blessings, and many, many opportunities to use those blessings. What a great way to thank the Lord for the past and to thank him for our assured eternal future with Christ in the future, in heaven, than to meet and talk to those whom we meet about a Savior slain and risen again. To tell all the world that Christ has set us free. May we conclude this 50th anniversary year of Jubilee worship service with humble and heartfelt thanks, joyfully worshiping, thankfully praising our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sanctifier, and look to our Savior and His Word for our strength and for our comfort for generations to come. Amen.